Now, yesterday, Eamon Ryan took the country by surprise by going up to the lectern outside Leinster House and announcing he was stepping down as Green Party leader. Have a listen.
Our party will now elect a new leader to take the party forward from here, and our own local group will now select a candidate to run in Dublin Bay South. I'll continue as party leader and in my ministerial roles until a new leader is appointed, and look forward to fulfilling whatever role a new leader assigns me for the remaining terms of this government. I have a number of important measures coming to Cabinet in the coming weeks, and we have critical legislation regarding planning and development, the Just Transition Commission, and marine protected areas, which we still expect to be enacted, among other pieces of legislation, in the lifetime of this government. We also have a fifth budget to deliver, which has to show the same characteristics of the previous budget in providing the greatest support to those most in need in our society. I am confident this government can go the full term, despite this second change in party leadership. We have the highest level of retrofitting in any European state, meaning that every week 1,000 more homes, households wake up in homes that are warmer, healthier and cheaper to heat. We designed and delivered in our department the energy credits which helped people in the cost of living crisis. We are lowering speed limits and delivering the National Broadband Plan. Our deposit refund scheme is working. We have built out cost rental housing. One of my biggest regrets is that under my watch, a narrative has taken hold that we're not concerned about rural Ireland, that our solutions are costing people, and that we're not connected to the man and woman on the street. None of that do I believe to be true. Divisive politics will not work if we are to see the scale and speed of change that has to be made. Our approach is to start by listening to people, asking for help rather than telling them what to do, admitting uncertainty in how the change might work best, and speaking to the heart and not just the head, because our motivation comes from a love of creation and our place within it. We seek benefits for every place and every community in the transition we need to make. Convincing people of that has not been easy, because we've also been the subject of a relentless attack, particularly on social media. It seems at times that we're almost subject to coordinated attacks in the comments section following any posts we made. I decided to ignore the worst comments, even when it included vile statements about my own recently deceased father some 5 years ago. But the level of invective has only increased, especially in the last year. And I think it poisons the well of public thinking about our agenda and not just our party. That's one of the reasons why it's so important that we cherish and build strong, impartial and independent media, and that we put the future funding in place so that people can trust that they're getting accurate information on what is happening in our world.
That's a little bit of what Eamon Ryan said about his decision to step down as Green Party leader. The narrative surrounding the party and some of the, particularly the online coordinated abuse that the party has got under relentless attack for, I suppose, trying to change things. With me on the line, and if you have a view on anything that he said, we'd love to hear your opinion on it this morning on the programme. We've got Green Party members with us on the line in Kerry. We've Cleo Murphy, who ran in the Kinmare local electoral area in the recent election, and Padraig Fionnán, who polled strongly running for the Greens in the Corcaguina local electoral area. Good morning to both of you. And Cleo, if I can start with you, what's your response? You've worked with Eamon Ryan for many years, right throughout that period where the Green Party had no elected representative after 2011 in Dáil Éireann, and the resurrection to a very strong showing last time out. So what's your view on his decision to step away?
Good morning, Gerry, and good morning to your listeners. I actually wasn't there from 2011. I joined the party in 2016 or 17, I think. So I came in at that time that just when things were picking up again and there was light to be seen. But I did hear people talking about that time from 2011. The party was down to three elected councillors in the whole country, nobody in the Oireachtas. And that was the time that Eamon Ryan took over the leadership of the party. And he put in His own money and his own time and his own resources to keeping the office going, because there's a cost to running a political party, and when you don't have representation, you don't have anything to cover it. So he kept it alive, and then he came back in the general election of 2016 to win his seat back, and Catherine Martin won a seat, and Grace O'Sullivan won a seat in the Shannon. So you were then back to having a team of three in the Oireachtas with support staff. So that was the time that I came in, and it was tough work and it was hard work. And what I remember is that Eamon always had more hope than the rest of us. Eamon would come out with ambitions and ideas and visions that you'd be thinking, oh, we're never going to make that. And we did, because he had an eye on the future all the time, and he always believed. He was optimistic. He is optimistic by nature, and he has seen the Green Party tide come in and go out and come in and go out over the years. So he's not fazed by things when they take a dip. He knows that we'll rise again always. So that's my memory of him from that time when we were, as I say, punting along as hard as we could, with him having really high ambitions for us. And then, of course, in 2019, we exceeded, you know, all more than we had hoped for. And he was proven right, as he was proven right so many times.
And now, with his departure, has he left the Green Party in a stronger position? Because it's currently, as he said, under attack, losing many councillors in the local elections, losing two MEPs as well. It's a critical time.
It is. It is one of those dips and the tide going out on us. Slightly, Gerry. I mean, you have to remember that we went into the 2019 local elections with just 12 councillors, and we now have 23. So we're still stronger than we were prior to what may go down as the golden period of the Green Party, you know, when we had just so many people elected in 2019 and 2020. Of course, it's an awful lot stronger. He's leaving it an awful lot stronger than he found it, and his persistence of staying with it until he got it to that level where he's able to implement things like, you know, in the transport department, his insistence that there be more investment in rural public transport. That wouldn't have happened without him, and he was in a position and will continue in transport to be in a position to improve the rural transport. I mean, we're looking at, we've gone from 3 buses a day in Kenmare going into Killarney to 12 buses because of Eamon Ryan. Pather will tell you about the new services in Dingle and the electric buses. So Eamon Ryan got the party into government and was able to implement things that are really working out well on the ground. I could tell you about organic farming, the numbers that are up in Kerry, the retrofitting that he referred to, the number of people who are putting on the solar panels, that's all because of the Green Party, and he was really, really effective in government.
Okay, Padraig Fionnuala, what's your response to Eamon Ryan stepping back?
Yeah, just listening to him there at that speech that you played, you just realized this is a statesman, this is a sort of a once in a generation politician. You know, if you listen to what he was talking about there, he was just concerned about the work and the next budget and what bills needed to come through. You know, it's all about the work and it's all about getting stuff done. And there's no ego there. There's no, you know, if he was talking about the attacks and on the narrative, it was really only because, you know, he's trying to explain a regret. But there's no kind of pity for myself. You know, he just doesn't do that. He's an extraordinary individual. He's visionary, as Cleo was saying. He doesn't talk like a normal politician talks. He's been able to compromise. You know, if you remember the emissions, kind of the standoff between agriculture and the emissions, you know, it was Eamon Ryan waking up in the middle of the night that made the compromise and found the easy way out for the Department of Agriculture. He said, let's just put up solar panels on the sheds and that'll help a bit. You know, he's not rigid either. He's a guy that's been able to find compromise and look for it. He was down in Dingle last week, or week four last, I guess. The man doesn't stop chatting to people. You know, he's just constantly absorbed in people's conversation. He remembers names, he values people. He's always asking me about how's Dilly Galvin in West Kerry and how's the various farmers he met when he was down. You know, I'm not easily impressed or overwhelmed, but I find he's a kind of saintly character. And it is really interesting to me I suppose, distressing, but also interesting, this narrative he's talking about, you know, because if you talk to people, when you go out canvassing, you get a real caricature. Eamon Ryan wants us all cycling in around the rain. Eamon Ryan wants wolves on the land. You know, Eamon Ryan wants us all eating lettuce. You know, this people say this. And it's daddy giving out to you, you know. Which is just not the way he talks or what he says.
No, but he said it was a major regret.
He did mention lettuce. He did mention wolves.
But these
are stray comments that happened. And there's three things. He also fell asleep he also was pictured falling asleep. These three items, you know, they're kind of slightly wayward comments, but they are repetitive and constant. And that's why I think it's really interesting what has happened here. And yes, there's Twitter storms and there's Twitter bots and all these things happening, but I think there's something more, you know, and I think that, you know, we know that we all want to be good people. We all want to do good. And we know from surveys that people, majority of people want us to look after nature, and we know that we depend on it. So all that's true. But, you know, all that involves change, and it involves unknown changes. We don't quite know. And it is scary. So there's something to be squared. The circle needs to be squared. You know, we need to do this thing that we're scared of doing. And it's much easier to demonize the guy that's saying it. So that's the only way I can understand how this, you know, even South Kerry politicians are calling him a gentleman. And yet, you know, there's this demonizing of this crazy person who's out to ruin rural Ireland. You know, which is just so patently not true that there's something has to explain it. And I think the thing that explains it is we need to demonise him, and perhaps the next leader needs to be demonised too, in order for us to kind of get over it. And that's something that we need to figure out, obviously.
He said one of his regrets yesterday was that he allowed that narrative to take hold, and it's on social media, but it's also other politicians attacking relentlessly, saying those lines. The Greens, let's all throw our eyes to heaven. They haven't a clue. They don't know what farmers are doing. They're going to kill us all with their charges and their fees and their changes.
That's what I'm talking about, I guess, that there's this very, it's a very easy narrative. And obviously, you know, if we want to exist and survive, we're going to need to figure that one out, especially the rural Ireland one he mentioned. And I guess that's close to Cleo and my heart in terms of our reason for existence as rural candidates, you know, trying to, you know, and I think we're succeeding in a way because we exist and because we care and because, you know, I've got small farmers meeting, you know, I didn't get elected, and they're disappointed. They're worried that I didn't get, that a Green candidate didn't get in. You know, it's kind of, it's great in a way. They're starting to vote Green, and not all of them, obviously. But you've got people who see that, you know, I care about their existing. As a Green person who cares about the nature, I need farmers to exist. I need fishermen to exist. I need them to survive. And I'm interested in making that happen. And when they see that, you know, we're starting to change the narrative. But, you know, it takes work, and it takes, you know, actually have to care, and you actually have to do the work, I suppose.
You do indeed. And Cleo, if I can just put that point to you, we're going to take a quick break because I want to talk a bit more about the leadership and where things go from here. But I'll give you two comments that outline what Patter is talking about, and maybe this is a story of failure of communication from the Green Party and Eamon Ryan, or a story of success of work on the ground. I'll let you respond. One comment says, Eamon Ryan, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have allowed him to ruin rural Ireland with no thought for anyone living in our rural communities. Now, as against that, another caller gets in touch, says, I'm a very small farmer. I joined the acre scheme, which was introduced by Eamon Ryan. He says he gets about $3,500 per year for doing a small bit of work on his farm from that scheme. This listener claims that Deputy Danny Healy had initially advised people not to apply for it. Caller says, thank you, Eamon Ryan. Well, that's two separate stories, isn't it?
It is. I'll take the first one first and say, of course he hasn't ruined rural Ireland. Gerry, I remember you doing a segment with Danny Healy-Ray about farms out around Kilgarvan and the manner in which small farms had been gobbled up by big farms over the past 50 years. The Greens were not in government over the past 50 years. So that comment is typical of the kind of mad things that are said. He has not ruined rural Ireland. The second thing is, there is an awful lot of people, unfortunately not enough for myself and Pather, who do feel like that, who are really appreciative of acres. I spoke to another man who's gone back farming on his land through the organic scheme, and he's thrilled with that. As I said, the rural transport, nobody else gave it to us. And that's a huge benefit to an awful lot of people. I think it will also benefit the tourism business. We'll have to wait how the season goes, but at least now tourists have a public transport system. So there has been huge input into rural Ireland. There's been huge input into young people. You know, they're on 50% reduction of the travel fares. There's free contraception, which is a green idea. Eamon Ryan is behind all of these things. There is that quiet, like your second comment there, there is a quiet element within the farming community within rural Ireland that is very appreciative of what Eamon Ryan has done.
Okay, we're going to talk more about this.
There's not enough of them yet.
No, we're going to talk more about this and about where things go from here. We'll get to that after we take these. Yeah, we're talking about the future of the Green Party. Now that Eamon Ryan has announced he's stepping down, we've got Cleo Murphy and Padraig Fiona both ran for the party in the recent local elections just passed. And a comment in here from a listener says, "Morning, Jerry. Eamon Ryan looked a bit dishevelled yesterday. Let's be honest, they were literally there to make up the numbers to form a government. They're a great party in theory. Catherine Martin is also stepping down. She didn't handle the RT scandal very well either, to my mind. They didn't meet targets. The rollout of broadband was too slow. They upset the farmers and Ryanair, two big players in our country. Probably need to align themselves with left-wing parties now. Labour will now step into the fray at the next election and support as a support party to the next two parties. Eamon Ryan was okay, but not up to the task." Now, there's a lot to unpack in that comment. But anyway, keep your views and opinions coming into us. If I could ask you, Padder, up next is an election, already some names into the mix, even though nobody has declared. Pippa Hackett has been supported this morning by several high-profile people within the party. Green Party Senator Pauline O'Reilly has said she would support Miss Hackett if she runs. And Ossian Smith, Minister Ossian Smith, has said similar. He said he wants to be deputy leader under a Pippa Hackett leadership and said we need a leader from outside Dublin to connect with rural Ireland. What's your view on that narrative, if we can call it that?
Yeah, I think that's going to be really important, that whether or not they come from outside of Dublin, you know, it's not your fault if you don't come from rural Ireland, but if it's somebody from Dublin, they're going to need to show that they are going to work hard at engaging with rural Ireland, at listening, as Eamon Ryan was saying, and at properly, you know, kind of working with especially small organisations, you know, hill farmers, sheep farmers, not only the IFAs and the bigger organisations, obviously those two. But, you know, you got to win back the heart of rural Ireland, and you got to show and be able to show that you're not an urban elite, because that's the message. You talk about the messaging. Are they an urban elite party that knows nothing about people out the country? That is what they need to be able to show. And it is image sometimes, you know, because, you know, it's not about whether you actually care, but what people think. So that's, it's easier if you're from the sticks to be able to say that. You know, coming from Offaly, being a beef farmer, that's good. Pippa's really fun. She's very personable, very positive also. She's already a minister. So she kind of...
Not a TD though, yes. Although
yeah,
she'll be hoping to change that, I'd imagine.
That is something that I guess is going to be a difficulty for her. That's really the only difficulty I can really see, because otherwise she's pretty wonderful, and I think she's done well. She inherited a kind of a mess of forestry. Forestry is you know, has been a mess in Ireland and remains problematic, but she's brought in some great schemes there. So she'd be a strong candidate, and definitely the fact that she's a farmer from Offaly, you know, is a good thing, in that, you know, she's going to understand. And they're doing organic farming, and it's a functioning farm. It's not a show farm. It's not a pretend farm. They make their living off organic beef farming, you know. And Mark, her husband, has been a councillor in Offaly too, and he's done good work there. So I think they'd be good candidates.
Yeah, okay. Cleo Murphy, what's your view? I mean, Roderick O'Gorman could step in, Joe O'Brien, indications, we'll find out how quickly will all this happen, how fast does it need to happen, this contest, to identify a new leader?
Well, Jerry, as I said to you, as somebody who works at head office and will be involved in the organisation of that, I'm going to retain my impartiality and not comment on any of the people who are stepping forward. But it will happen soon. It'll happen. I suppose we'll wait and see if there does need to be a contest, whether or not more than one person puts their hat in the ring.
Okay, Cleo, can I ask you finally, Anne Landon released a statement of the Green Party, who also ran in the Tralee area just weekend just past and said, at a personal level, I think Eamon's unwavering ability to keep going in the face of continual personal abuse and disinformation, much of this originating from this county, has been incredible. He's never been afraid to take the unpopular line and deliver policies which genuinely benefit the country and its citizens. This unwavering commitment to doing the right thing is what led me and many others to enter politics. And he spoke, Eamon Ryan himself, yesterday about the social media abuse, comments about his father and the need to fund properly verified and accurate media into the future. What's your view on that and the atmosphere around politics at the moment along those lines? That sort of personalization of attacks against people but just because you don't like their policies. Okay,
hello, Jerry,
I think we
can
might
you hear
have.
Me?
Yes, Cleo. Yeah.
Sorry, can you? I lost an awful lot of that question.
No, so I was just saying about the level of and Lon Dunne's view, basically saying, look, his ability to keep going in the face of continual and personal attacks and abuse and disinformation, as well as social media attacks as well.
Yeah, no, he's very resilient, and a lot of it he just lets it wash over him. But everybody's human; it has to get to you on some level. And I think it is when members of his family were attacked that he found that particularly hurtful, as all politicians do. I think Michael Healy-Ray was talking about something similar with you recently as well. And I think this is where Eamon is important. There is a decency about him that we have to hold on to in the face of real nastiness creeping in to Irish politics and Irish society. And decency is the one thing we cannot afford to lose. Eamon Ryan was the epitome of decency in his political career, and will continue to be until the next general election. And that's what we need to fight for.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, look, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to both of you for giving us your thoughts and your views. We'll see which way the election goes in relation to that, what it means for the government and the wider question. We'll be talking with John Downing on Call from the Dáil on Friday about that, as to whether this will mean an earlier election or not. A number of headlines this morning. The Irish Examiner, Ryan exit may spark year-end election. Open field for new party chief. It's a sub-headline on that story with regards to, because we've had now a change in leadership in Fine Gael. We've had a change in leadership in the Green Party in the dying months, if you can call it that, of this government. And that question again comes into it as to whether it's going to be an October election, November election, or whether it's going to go to next spring. If you have a view on that or on Eamon Ryan's legacy as leader of the Green Party, get in touch.